From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Investment Coordinating Board had said Indonesia and India will become top leaders in Asia-Pacific. ASEAN forms Special Committee on Creative Economy. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Donald Pani. The trade war between the United States and China is predicted to last for decades, just like the Cold War that occurred between the Soviets and the United States. Regarding the trade war between the U.S. and China, head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Thomas Lembong, in his remarks during a meeting with Indian Foreign Minister Dr. Subrahmanyam Jaishankar in Jakarta on Thursday, predicted that India and Indonesia would become a strong partner in non-aligned movement in the Asia-Pacific region because each country has domestic opportunities and challenges that must be faced.
What I predict is going to happen is a sort of re-emergence of the non-aligned movement that we saw during the last Cold War. And if you look at the likely leadership of this non-aligned movement, I predict that India and Indonesia will be thrust into being sort of a reluctant pair of leaders, certainly in the Asia-Pacific region. Right? I say reluctant because I believe that India's leadership, Indonesia's leadership, we have so many domestic opportunities and domestic challenges to deal with.
Thomas Lembong added that India and Indonesia will become a major economic force as long as the two countries increase and intensify economic cooperation between the two countries. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries is intensively conducting restocking of fish seeds in a number of areas to restore local fish resources in various archipelago waters. The Ministry's Director General of Fisheries, Slamet Suyakto, in a written statement received in Jakarta on Thursday, said that he was concerned about the local fish stocks that had dropped dramatically in Indonesian waters. Restocking or stocking of fish seeds is an annual routine activity of the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries to restore the availability of endemic local fish that are almost extinct and to maintain the balance of the ecosystem of public waters. Representatives of ASEAN countries form the ASEAN Coordinating Committee on Creative Economy, ACCCE, at the ASEAN Regional Workshop on Creative Economy. The event was held by the Creative Economy Agency and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Nusa Dua, Bali on Thursday. Director of ASEAN Cooperation in the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ade Petranto, explained that the meeting to discuss the field of creative economy for the international multilateral level had been held for 2 days, on September 2nd and 3rd, while on September 4th And fifth, there was a regional level meeting in the ASEAN region that brought representatives of ASEAN countries. The formation of this committee are expected to increase innovation and creativity, while at the same time uniting countries in monetizing cultural, scientific, and technological wealth for their regional economy. The Indonesian Composite Index started the day with a positive outlook on Friday's opening, following a reduction in pressure to the market from the U.S.-China trade dispute. The IDX strengthened by 22.61 points, or 0.36%, to 6,329.41, and the index of the 45 prime stocks, LQ45, gained 6.19 points, or 0.63%, to 992.39. Lanjar Nafi, head of the research at the Reliance Securitas, noted on Friday, lessening trade tension between U.S. and China, low concerns over the sluggish economy, and less buying action have been the driving force behind IDX's positive movement today. The ASEAN regional markets also mirrored this positive trend on Thursday, encouraged by the plan of the U.S. and China to continue trade negotiations in early October. The strong U.S. economy data report also contributes to lessening fear of a global economic downturn. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Even though it has entered the digital era, radio will still exist because radio is the core of communication in the world. It was stated by the Seychelles ambassador to Indonesia, Nico Barito, at the Diplomatic Forum talk show with the theme "The Future of Radio," organized by Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta recently. According to him, there is a trending back to nature. Therefore, even in the digitalized era, radio will still be listened.
So what I'm trying to say, I mean, when many people are thinking like maybe radio is fading out, maybe this all new digital era things is coming up, that one day radio and newspaper is not there in the market. I don't believe in that ideology, because there is always a trend of coming back to nature, you see. Today our consumption is coming back to organic food. Today we are talking about come back to nature, save the paper, save the planets. So I mean, radio is the core value of the first communicator in the world. This is one of the tools of communication. Every country is proud of its radio. Indonesia is proud of the radio, because your motto say, sekali di udara, tetap di udara.
Yes.
So
yes,
you are always there, you know. So I don't think there is any worry about that. It's only about how creative we do and how we interact.
Ambassador Barito added, what had to be done was how to attract young listeners to keep listening to the radio by providing programs that were close to their lives. In addition, according to him, radio can also be used to promote tourism. The role of radio will increase, especially if there is already digitalized. Apart from being a means of disseminating information, education, and entertainment, radio also functions to unite people from various parts of the world. It was conveyed by Pakistani Ambassador to Indonesia, Abdul Shali Khan, at the Diplomatic Forum's talk show titled "The Future of Radio," held by Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta recently. The theme was taken in the context of the 74th anniversary of Radio Republic Indonesia. According to Abdul Salih Khan, it is possible that radio will change its form and function, but the role of radio will be increasingly important.
So radio's importance in future is not going to undermine. It is going to increase. Of course, it will take different, it will change its shape. It will change its utility in a different way. But the way radio is bringing the cultures closer, the way the radio is bringing countries information, as Ambassador of Seychelles said, that tourism is one of the most important, area in Seychelles. So what is the role of radio there? Similarly, Pakistan is also a country which is a friendly country to Indonesia. And through RRI, millions of people in Indonesia and Pakistan are linked together.
Furthermore, Ambassador Abdul Salih Khan appreciated the Voice of Indonesia, which had organized the diplomatic forum activities via radio because it had connected Indonesia with listeners around the world. The Ministry of Tourism once again joined the second Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents Fair Kuala Lumpur 2019 from September 6 to 8, 2019. Head of Regional Food/A, Malaysia Peninsula Regional Tour Tourism Ministry, Nurdiansa in Kuala Lumpur on Friday said the participation of Wonderful Indonesia in this event was to promote and maintain the existence of Indonesian tourism in the world, especially in ASEAN. In addition, it is an effort to continue the Tourism Ministry program to promote Wonderful Indonesia in the main market, Malaysia. The Central Statistics Agency noted that in 2018, tourists from neighboring countries visited Indonesia the most with 2.5 million visits, beating China with only 2.1 million tourists. In addition, connectivity from major cities of Malaysia to Jakarta, Bali, Medan, Bandung, Surabaya, and Lombok and others is also good. Well, listener, that's the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is To Urge Countries to be Committed to Addressing Global Climate Change. A study relates to the climate change with Dorian storm that hit America on September 3rd. According to the study, warmer oceans trigger more extreme storms, sea level increases, storm surges, and causes worse flooding. After analyzing more than 70 years of Atlantic hurricane data, NASA scientist Tim Hall reported that storms are more likely to stop on land, extending their time on Earth when they destroy and cause heavy rainfall. After devastating Bahamas for more than 40 hours, Hurricane Dorian finally turned north as Category 2 storm. The hurricane cycled the coast of Florida and Georgia before attacking California, as you say, Carolina, which then led to more life-threatening winds, storm surge, and heavy rain. The emergence of Hurricane Dorian made 2019 the fourth year in a row on which Category 5 typhoons formed the Atlantic, the longest record in history. However, meteorologists and climate experts say the Dorian storm shows the characteristics of storm that forms in the future when the Earth climate is getting warmer. In addition to the storm that changed the character to be very destructive, global climate change is also marked by CO2 carbon dioxide levels in China, which will peak in 2022, a year faster than originally predicted in 2023. Conditions that occur in China as the world's largest emitter will affect the efforts the world controls climate change impacts. Then each country writes down the effects of climate change that start being felt in their respective places. Every year since the period 1850 until 1900, the average temperature of the world is approaching or about 1 degree Celsius. Now, the British meteorologist says that trend is likely to continue or increase over the next 5 years. UN scientists published a special report on the long-term effects if temperatures increase by 1.5 degrees Celsius. They conclude that there needs to be extraordinary efforts to cut carbon in the peak to prevent the world from crossing the line by 2030. Analysts of the British Meteorological Agency says that there is a 10% chance that this will happen in the next 5 years. If seen from the pattern and map of the location of countries that are saved from climate change, we can conclude that most developed countries dominate the top position on this, especially the countries in Europe and America. Asia is a continent whose countries are categorized as not too ready for the effects of climate change, although Japan is believed to have been very ready for disaster mitigation and emergency conditions. Our deepest concern is that every country's procedure and systems for dealing with disaster and their attitude towards climate change are inside. One of the aspects that we cannot deny from climate change is actually their responsibility, because how ready and vulnerable a country is in dealing with this. Any disaster remains a joint responsibility for each country. Therefore, real collective action actually exists and is evident from countries that are members of the United Nations. The easiest way we can see is that the standpoint of the United Nations UN that issue what we call Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, welcome back to the regular Today in History, our Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on September 6, 1961, when the first summit of non-bloc movement in Beograd ended. The first summit of non-bloc movement was held on September 1 to 6, 1961 in Beograd. The summit resulted in jointly political principles. The principles were based on coexistence of peace and non-aligned military members in a bid to eliminate colonialism in all forms and manifestations. The summit was considered as continuations of Asia-Africa Conference 1955 in Bandung, West Java, Indonesia. 25 countries which took part at the summit were 8 Asian countries, 9 African countries, 1 European country, Yugoslavia, 1 Latin American, Cuba, and 6 Arabic countries. The driving force of this conference was President Joseph Broz Tito, who was closer to the country of Third World that wanted to be free from isolation of the two blocs. The conference also discussed discrimination of race, assistance for progress and development, and disarmament. The next event was in 1997 about funeral of Princess Diana. Funeral ceremony of Princess Diana was held on September 6, 1997, 6 days after her death, which was tragic due to accident at Pont de l'Alma tunnel in Paris, France. Around 2.5 billion people around the globe witnessed the procession, either directly or through television. The peak of the procession was held in Westminster Abbey, London. At that time, the coffin of Princess Diana, or well-known Lady Di, was covered by Kingdom's flag and carried by 8 commissioned officers of Welsh Guard Unity. The princess, who had a title Princess of Wales, was buried on an island which is surrounded by artificial lake, the Offal Lake at Althorp Park of Spencer family's house. The last event was about Operation of Fruit Garden on September 6, 2007. Operation of Fruit Garden was a sky attack of Israel on Agricultural Research Center of Deir ez-Zor, North Syria, on September 6, 2007. According to the news, the attack was conducted by Squadron 69 of Israeli Air Force consisting of F-151, F-16, and Elant. Totally, there were 8 planes. Earlier, CNN reported that the attack targeted Hezbollah militants. On September 13, the Washington Post mentioned that intelligence of the United States and Israel had received information on nuclear facility which was built in Syria with assistance of North Korea, and the target of the attack was claimed to facility which was able to make non-conventional weapon. According to the Sunday Times, the target was storage of nuclear materials of North Korea. A cement ship of North Korea docked in Syria 3 days before, and the ship was accused bringing nuclear equipment. North Korea itself cursed the attack, although North Korea rarely took action on international event. Meanwhile, the Observer Daily newspaper mentioned that the operation was test for attack on nuclear facility of Iran and Syria, that Israeli Air Force was still very strong, although its army was humiliated in Lebanon War 2006. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Sudah sewindu ku di dekatmu, ada di setiap pagi, di sepanjang harimu. Tak mungkin bila
Engkau tak tahu bila ku menyimpan rasa yang ku pendam sejak lama. Setiap pagi ku menunggu di depan pintu, siapkan senyum terbaikku agar cerah harimu. Cukup bagiku melihatmu tersenyum manis di setiap pagimu, siangmu, malammu. Sesaat dia datang, pesona bagai pangeran, dan beri kau harapan, bualan cinta dan masa depan. Engkau lupakan aku, semua usahaku, semua pagi kita, semua malam kita. Depan pintu dan tak ada lagi tutur manis ku merayumu. Setiap pagi ku menunggu di depan pintu, siapkan senyum terbaikku agar cerah harimu. Cukup bagiku lihatmu tersenyum manis di setiap pagimu, siangmu, malammu. Sesaat dia datang, pesona bagai pangeran, dan beri kau harapan, bualan cinta dan masa depan. Engkau lupakan aku, semua usahaku, semua pagi kita, semua malam kita. Bila kini nyatanya engkau memilih dia, takkan lagi ku sebodoh ini larut di dalam angan, angan tanpa tujuan.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vnews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Listener, here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's edition is It's Time for Indonesia to be an Electric Vehicle Manufacturer. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, believes that it is the time for Indonesia to become electric vehicle producers since various supporting materials are available in Indonesia. This was stated by Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan when opening the 2019 Indonesia Electric Motor Show, or IEMS, in Jakarta on Wednesday. Minister Luhut also said that around 70 to 80% of lithium battery manufacturing components as the essential part of manufacturing the electric vehicles are found in Indonesia. In addition, various parties want to invest domestically related to the production of various components supporting the manufacturing of electric vehicles. At present, the air in various major cities such as Jakarta has been polluted, so it is important to replace fossil energy vehicles to turn into electric vehicles that are considered more environmentally friendly. On the same occasion, Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko said various benefits related to the use of electric vehicles, including reducing oil and gas imports and creating a healthier environment for future generations. In addition, the use of electric vehicles can also help to make the state electricity company or PLN healthy, because there will be more and more electric vehicles that use electric current from PLN to charge batteries. Muldoko also believes that the Indonesian people will be able to buy the electric car, although the price is now relatively expensive. Indonesia is one of the countries that has the best raw materials in the world for producing lithium-ion batteries, namely low-grade nickel or commonly called limonite with a 0.8 until 1.5% nickel content. Well, listener, that was my Indonesia.
Malam ini ku akan akrobat dengan hidung merah tomat. Jangan sampai terlambat, kostumku siap, hati-hati kau terpikat. Oh, bercinta dengan singa terlatih, bersepeda roda satu, menari, menari di atas tali. Aku tak takut jatuh, tak takut jatuh. Aku lebih takut jatuh tanpa dirimu. Musikku terus berbunyi, tubuhku terus atraksi. Walau ku tak tahu pasti adakah kau datang malam ini. Musikku kau datang, saksikan ku di balada sirkus. Wajahku tertutup make up, kempas tubuhmu akan aku tangkap. Hadirmu membuatku lengkap, namun rasaku padamu takkan pernah terungkap. Sirkus. terus berbunyi tubuhku, terus atraksi walau ku tak tahu pasti adakah kau datang malam ini. Musikku terus berbunyi tubuhku. Kan datang, aku ingin kau datang. Saksikan ku di balada sirkus.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listeners, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, we will introduce you to Mie Balap, a typical culinary of Medan, North Sumatra. From August 31st to September 1st, 2019, Mie Balap, a typical culinary of Medan, North Sumatra, was served free to the community at the event of Pucuk Kulin Art Festival at Plaza Medan Fair, Medan, North Sumatra. Many visitors who attended the festival liked very much Mie Balap. For today's Citizen of Indonesian Wonder, we invite you to know more about Mie Balap. Mie Balap was previously called Mie Tiao. However, due to the cooking process of Mie Tiao, very fast like in a competition, so the local people call it Mie Balap. Mie Balap consists of kue tiao and vermicelli, which is salted with leeks, eggs, bean sprouts, and sweet soy sauce. The characteristic of the taste of Mie Balap is related to the use of many eggs. Because it uses many eggs, Mie Balap has a thick texture. In addition to the distinctive texture, the aroma of Mie Balap has also become more distinctive because of the fragrance of salted eggs, especially when poured on a plate covered with banana leaf. The aroma of Mie Balap is more appetizing. Mie Balap is sold by using a cart. This culinary is fried on fry pan with stone stove by using wood as its fuel. Mie Balap is sold with two types of tastes, original and seafood. For original taste, the price is about 8,000 rupiah until 10,000 rupiah, while the price of seafood taste is about 10,000 rupiah to 15,000 rupiah. Mie Balap is usually enjoyed as breakfast menu, so many traders of Mie Balap sell it in the morning. That was Indonesian Wonder with topic of Mie Balap, a typical culinary of Medan, North Sumatra. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Bye!
Tuhanku, berikanlah dia untukku, jadikanlah cinta padaku. Meski dirinya belum bisa melupakan, melupakan kekasih yang dulu, yang dulu pernah isi hatinya. Namun aku takkan peduli, yang penting dia mulai.
menderita karena dirinya.
Engkau tampak bersedih, katamu semua usai. Oh Tuhanku, berikanlah dia untukku, jadikanlah cinta padaku, meski dirinya belum bisa melupakan, melupakan kekasih yang dulu, yang dulu pernah isi hatinya. Namun aku takkan peduli, yang penting dia melupakan, melupakan kekasih yang dulu, yang dulu pernah isi hatinya. Namun aku takkan peduli, yang penting dia mulai tahu sungguh aku mengharapkan cinta.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for your listener on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello listeners, welcome back in Miss Eleni. Today, we will inform you about Indonesian vocational school students win 15 medals at the 2019 World Skill Competition Russia. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Good news came from Indonesian vocational high school students competing in the international arena. They won achievements in the World Skill Competition, which took place on 22nd to 27th August 2019 in Kazan, Russia. This is the highest level of competition that tests Indonesian youth ability from around the world. This competition tests various skills needed by the business world and the industrial world. Vocational students representing Indonesia this time managed to bring home 15 medals with a total medal score of 20 points. In this year's The World Skill Competition, the Indonesian team is ranked 15th out of 62 participating countries. It turns out that the result could exceed the position of other participants, especially those who came from developed countries. With this achievement, Indonesia ranks one level above Australia, which is ranked 16th with a score of 18 points. In total, Australia received 13 medals consisting of 1 silver, 3 bronze and 9 medallions for excellence. In addition, Indonesia's position also pays the position of participants from Canada who were in 17th place by winning 17 points and a total of 15 medals consisting of 1 silver and 14 medallions for excellence. Norway is ranked 31st with the acquisition of 6 points and 6 medallions for excellence, while the Netherlands ranks 22nd after gaining 11 points and 11 medallions for excellence. At this year, the World Skill Competition, the Indonesian team participated in 29 fields of competition from a total of 56 fields that were contested. Indonesia's involvement in this event is the 8th time after becoming a member of the World Skill Competition in 2004 and becoming the first participant in 2005 in Helsinki, Finland. In this competition, Indonesia was ranked 2nd in the world for IT Network System Administration, ranked 2nd in the world in the field of IT Software Solutions for Business, 3rd in the world in the field of plastic dye engineering, and medallion for excellent for 12 fields including web technologies, automobile technology, restaurant service, graphic design, technology, and hairdressing. That was Miss Lenny for today with the topic Indonesian Vocational School Students Win 15 medals at the 2019 World Skill Competition in Russia. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Thanks for listening.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia.
our listener, today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from North Sumatra entitled Sigulepong. Sigulepong is the song of Batak Toba tribe in North Sumatra. Batak Toba people traditionally pronounce Sigulepong with Sigulepong. The song tells about local wisdom or local culture about the prospective husband or wife who will get married. According to indigenous leader of Batak, some clans and Boru have their own match. The song is sung by parents to their children as an advice to choose their pairs. Listener, here is Sigulepong, which is rearranged by Vicky Sianipar and resung by Ervina Simarmata.
Sanggar sigule sigule saibain huru-huruan sigule sigule pong sigule gule jolo sinukun marga sigule sigule asamin noto partuturan sigule sigule pong sigule gule.
Listener, we end our Togetherness in English Language Program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English Language Program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.
From Jakarta, here is The Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voinews.id.